Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show on another Sunday afternoon. Sun Guy along with the coach with the most coming at us from coast to coast. He doesn't mean to brag, but he has to boast because his favorite all-time sandwich is pot roast. Coach Mike Jones, real quick before we jump into some things, if you are looking for some pro wrestling, today you have PvP in East Hampton, Massachusetts, DOA Pro Wrestling in Independence, Oregon, and you have TOS Wrestling happening in East Hartford, Connecticut. Without any further ado, I want to welcome to the show our guest today. He is one of the best out of the Midwest region, Atlas Hightower. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me on Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Well, since it is your first time with us, I'm going to start you off today with the first-timer question. How did you get into the business of professional wrestling?
I was always a fan of it ever since I was eight or nine years old. I was a huge fan of it. I was obsessed. I always drew them on my notebooks in school. I always would do impressions of them in front of my classes. I didn't really get into the business until I was about 18 years old, my senior year in high school. I was at a flea market, and I happened to come across a show that had an actual ring, and I was kind of shocked about that. And I asked him, and I asked the people who were there, what do I have to do to, you know, join? And they said just show up, and I had to show up, set up the ring, set up chairs. That was back in October of 2007 now, so, yeah, like 16 years ago now. But, yeah, I got my start by just randomly going into a swap meet, and I just happened to run across a wrestling show that was there that I had no clue about, and I was like, wow, like maybe this is a call right here for me to get into the business because I've always had an interest in it. So I got into it, and the rest is history, I guess.
Now, for the people that have seen you wrestle, they will pick up that you have a variety of opponents, which means you've wrestled a variety of styles. And I've seen you sort of adapt styles a little bit depending on who you face. Do you have a particular favorite style of professional wrestling?
I wouldn't say that I have a particular style. I kind of like to adapt to the situation that I'm in because I'm a tall guy, but I'm not necessarily a big guy. And I'm also... And I'm also not a short guy, but I'm bigger than all the other short guys. You know what I mean? Not short guys, but people who are shorter than me. And I just kind of adapt to it, and I kind of use my size to my advantage. I use my size and my reach. I got these long-ass arms, man. It's just, you know, I can grab you from, like, halfway across the ring, and I can do whatever I want.
Flip side of that, is there a style of pro wrestling that even if you can do it, you just don't particularly like to do?
I don't want to say that I don't like a particular style, but I don't really have an answer for that because I work, like you said, I work with a whole variety of opponents, and I'm kind of a guy who, if I'm going to hate something, I'm going to try and love it because I feel like that's how I'm going to get better, if that makes any sense, you know?
And you've been around, like we said, over a decade and a half, which means you have made some towns in your day. If there are young wrestlers listening to this right now that are just starting the journey, what are some of the travel tips that you would have so these guys can have a successful road trip?
Travel tip. Let's see. Don't spend money on takeout. Don't spend money on tour in the city. Save as much money as you can. What I used to do was whenever I would go out on the road, for me to save a little bit of cash, I would bring a loaf of bread with me and peanut butter, and I would make peanut butter sandwiches throughout the whole trip. You know what I mean? So if I want some fast food or if I want a quick bite to eat, I can just make myself a quick sandwich and be fine. That right there was one way. Anyways, man, you ever heard of this place called Sheets?
Yes.
Oh man, that place is great, man. I think the last time I was there it was actually last year in March when I was coming back from New York. We stopped by there, man, and I missed that place. Like I haven't been to that place like in about 4 or 5 years. Like I forgot how good that place was, but as far as tips, try and be as cheap as possible, because you don't want to spend money on something that costs too much, and then you realize that you could have spent that money on gas to, you know, help you get to the next town or home. You know what I'm saying? My tip for that is to be as cheap as you can and frugal and try and be smart. And also, don't be afraid to ask guys, too. Like, I'm sure that guys have little tips and tricks that, you know, they can share. You know what I mean? I don't mind sharing.
Now, you talk about the loaf of bread and the peanut butter for sandwiches. You've always been in pretty good shape from what I can tell. What's the typical diet like for you, whether you're at home or if you're on the road? What's your diet routine?
Well, for one, I really try to stay away from pop. Like, I'm not really, like, on a diet plan or anything like that. How's the best way for me to explain this? I pretty much eat whatever I want. I just don't overindulge. If I have a cheeseburger, I am not the one to have two. You know what I'm saying? I try not to overeat. I'm always constantly moving. I exercise in my gym. I I just try to stay away, like, from – I try not to go overboard as far as the food, because a lot of times, like they put a lot of bad – they put a lot of bad stuff into this food now, and you really don't need it all the time. It's good to have a little bit, you know, and moderation is key.
Part of having the build that you do is it's also a lot of exercise and training. What's your typical training regimen like?
Man, I hit up everything. I try and hit a full body workout almost every time. Don't get me wrong. I don't work out every day. I work out every other day or so for about a half hour. I try to make sure that I have a nice pump going throughout my whole body, legs, hips, core, shoulders, arms, hands. I use a lot of kettlebells. I use a lot of dumbbells. I like to use my resistance band a lot. I also jump rope. I do a huge amount of jump rope roping to make sure that my ankles and calves and my knees and my hips are strong. I do a bunch of curls with my arms. You know, I use the flies, I use the rows, curls, all that good stuff. And whenever I want to take like a little quick rest, I'll take like a quick little rest, but I'm always on my feet. You know what I'm saying? Always on the balls of my feet. So like to make sure that I have that bounce and that agility so that I can move, elusively, if that's the right word.
As far as cardio training goes, do you do cardio every day, or do you only do that every other day with the training regimen?
I do my cardio every other day. I pretty much just run for about two or three miles at a time because you know, I'm pretty much a lean dude. You know what I mean? So I don't really have that much fat. I don't really have that much fat to lose. I never even had fat, you know what I'm saying? I'm, you know, really just trying to gain. I'm not just trying to gain, but also maintain too. I just try to maintain and just keep up with this whole thing. You know, you pretty much just got to be consistent. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
No matter what you're doing.
The big things in wrestling right now is a lot of fans have been watching the movie The Iron Claw, which came out about a month and a half ago, and it's one of the bigger motion pictures in the last several decades that featured professional wrestling. Did you see the movie, and do you have an opinion on The Iron Claw?
Oh, yeah. I thought the movie was great. I thought it was a excellent movie for the general audience can see and have a understanding of what professional wrestlers go through. It was really great that they chose a family like the Von Erichs. Even though the story is a tragedy, it should be. It's kind of like a cautionary tale of how this is how it was. But I kind of wish that they would explain like how did that tragedy affect wrestling today, but. I didn't make the movie, but at the same time, though, I thought the movie was great. There was times where I was trying to hold back tears because us as wrestling fans, we already know the story. we already know what happens, and it's just kind of heartbreaking to see it being played out in a feature film, because you know what's going to happen, and you know, that's pretty much my opinion. I wish that they would have focused on the impact on how that had an impact on wrestling today, but at the same time, it was a great movie.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host, Coach Mike Jones, is standing by, and I know that Coach does have some questions to ask, so I'm going to pass you right over to the coach with the most.
Yeah, all right, cool.
Hey, brother, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. So, hey,
Thank you, Coach with the most.
Who's your heroes growing up? And that includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
My father. I would say that my dad is my, it's pretty much my hero in life. Yeah, man, it's my dad. He raised me. He took me to my first show. He introduced me to this whole thing, and I would say it's my dad. And my dad would get up and work every day, and he would take care of his kids. He would take care of me and my little sister, and really am grateful for what he's done, especially now, because like I'm going to be 35 next month, and sometimes I just sit back and just think, like, I just think about my dad, and I literally go, wow, he's like my hero. Like, he's like the person who I really want to be like, a person who takes care of their responsibilities. And you know what's kind of ironic too about my dad is that my favorite wrestler of all time is Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Stone Cold was always like, he always reminded me of my dad, a guy who always, you know, went to work, always did what he had to do. And ironically enough, my dad is bald and he also has a goatee. So my dad is like a black Stone Cold to me, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
And it's funny too, because his birthday is 3/16. It's March 16th. So yeah.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my middle name is and you know what's funny? My middle name is Austin.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
nice.
So you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin is like my favorite. It's simply because of that, because he's bald. And he reminds me of my dad, which is like a common man. And I don't know. I always thought that my dad was a badass. Stone Cold is a badass too. You see what I mean? Like, so it's like I kind of got Stone Cold on TV, and I got Stone Cold at home.
Right on. Okay, what about in sports and music?
Oh man, well, I don't want to say LeBron James or Kobe, but I am a Kobe guy. But generally in sports, it's Muhammad Ali.
Okay,
whenever
right
it comes
on.
To all sports, like the best athlete to me is Muhammad Ali. I don't care what anybody says. Like, I look up to that guy. Like, whenever I think of sports, it's him. You know what I mean? Like that. That right there's the guy. I'm just a fan of combat sports too, but yeah, my pretty much my dad, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Muhammad Ali.
And then anybody in music?
Anybody in music, man. I like so many kinds of music, man. Like, I can go from Kendrick Lamar to Queen, to Public Enemy, to AC/DC, you know what I mean? But
Yeah. But
I would say right about now, what is really getting me going whenever I'm working out in my garage, what really gets me going is just hearing some old Jay-Z, man. Just hearing some old Jay-Z, like, when he was, like, when, like, I, like, Jay-Z is cool as hell, but I like him back in 2001 when he came out with the Black Album and everything. Like, that stuff was hot. That, and pretty much that's pretty much stuff that I grew up on, too. But whenever I hear the Black Album from Jay-Z, it gets me going, you know what I'm saying? Like, 50 Cent, too, man. Like, I got to mention him, too. Like, 50 Cent. Man, now you got out, man, you got me going with Outkast now. Oh, man, shoot. Man, bro, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, okay. I like the whole genre, man. Queen, even. Like, I was just listening to Queen last night because, you know, I was just bored. And, like, hey, put it on and just makes you feel good, man. I like music that makes you feel good, you know what I mean? I don't have a particular anything. It's just if it feels good, I'm definitely all about it.
Cool. Okay. And then did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I actually wrestled in high school. I wrestled for Melvindale High School. I was in weight class 171. I don't remember my record, but I do remember why I joined, and it was because at that time Kurt Angle was like the best wrestler in the freaking world to me, and I wanted to be a wrestler ever since I was a kid. And I remember telling myself that when I get into high school, I'm going to join the wrestling team to see if I'm cut out, and I did it. And from that, me doing that stuff in high school, and me being a senior in high school, and I'm being trained at the same time to be a pro wrestler by Briar Wellington. It was pretty cool, man, because, like, you know, I was able to incorporate the drills and the cardio from, like, high school into the ring. And I feel like that was a huge advantage for me. So,
okay. And then what else besides pro and collegiate wrestling do you have for your self-defense background?
I mean, that's basically it, man. Like, I just, you know, wrestled in high school. I graduated, and I started to become pro at around the same time. And I was just trying to cut my teeth at the business. I was trying to learn this, man, like going from show to show and setting up chairs in the ring and driving from state to state, trying to figure this stuff out. And, you know, it was a long journey. All of the little jobs I had to start and quit and start and quit again. And the struggle was real, man. The struggle was real.
Yes, definitely. And then what different characters have you done in wrestling besides the one you do now?
Oh, man, you know what? I've never really been like a character. I feel like I've always been extension of myself. Just, you know, just turn up all the way, because, you know, I like to be loud. I like to run. I like to jump. I like to punch you. I like to kick you. I like to slam you. I like to do all of that stuff. So, you know, I don't really have a character per se, but that character is me in real life, just turned up a little bit in the ring. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And then in your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable matches that you've seen? That includes VHS tape, internet, or live.
So many. Sure. Well, definitely one that sticks out in my head when I was young is the Stone Cold and Bret Hart match at WrestleMania 13. That was one. The other one is, I just had it at the tip of my head. Oh, man, that Iron Man match with Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle on SmackDown, that was perfecto, man. I love seeing that match. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. Man, dude, pretty much anything with Nakamura from New Japan. So many, man. Shoot. Yeah.
Okay. And then, we're excited to hear about your most memorable matches.
Mine? All right, okay. I don't remember the date, but I do remember the month and the year. It was June 2018. Me against Amazing Nate Maxson. We were in a 30-minute Iron Man match, and I got my head split open the hard way with a damn chair. And there's a lot of blood. It was so much blood. The camera guy put down his camera and he got some tape and he just started to wrap my head in tape. And this was like 7 minutes into the match. So we got like about 23. We got about 23 minutes left. And I'm already hurt, but I kept going and I felt pretty badass because I had all this blood on my head and my head was all wrapped up and I just feel like I look cool. Like, yeah, like this right here is me. Another memorable match that I have is when I did my very first death match against the sadistic Sean Lawhorn in May of 2022. Yeah, I never got hit with light tubes. I have never, ever been slammed on thumbtacks. That shit hurts. I don't mess around with that stuff. And I never seen so much blood, like, coming out of me at that time. I thought having all the blood come from out of my head was a lot. But when it's all over your body, it's like, damn, like, this is the real life, man. This is the real shit here. And those are the two that stand out. Another one that was in my mind was I had one with Ace Austin. That was in November of 2021. I learned a lot from that match. But Ace Austin can go, man. Like, there is a reason why that man is on Impact. Like, he's good. He's good. Really good.
Definitely. Okay. And then this next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is if you drink coffee.
I do not drink coffee, but I do drink tea. I drink tea a lot.
And
I
your
like
favorite?
Peach tea.
Okay.
Peach tea. Yeah, man.
All right. And then what's your favorite concerts you've been to?
Oh, man. My favorite concert, I saw Jay-Z back in 2017. That was awesome. Over at the Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. Me and my little sister saw him, and we had a really great time, man. He was really great, really, really cool.
All right, and then what's been your favorite sports teams in your life?
It's always been the Pistons. I know that they suck right now, but it's always been them, the Detroit Pistons.
Okay. And
yeah.
Then let me see.
Lions, too, but, you know, they lost last week, even though we almost had it. We almost freaking had it. We had a great season with the Lions, man.
Both those games were a little controversial to me. I don't know about you.
I'm biased as hell, man. I'm from Detroit, and I would have loved to see him go all the way because we haven't really had that before. Because remember, Detroit was 0-16.
Yeah,
like we were bad, man. And like, just to see us this year was like, whoa! Like, do we have a chance? And we did have a chance, man.
Yes.
If you did have a chance.
I got to point out, man, you know, your guys' whole team seems great, except for that cornerback out there running his mouth before the game, and then he's waving to the fans at halftime, and the next thing you guys know, you lose. My opinion is they might need to get rid of that guy.
I think so, too. It just seemed like he was taking all day to throw the freaking ball, man. Just throw it. Throw it to somebody. But also, there was nobody for him to throw it to because they were all getting blocked like hell, bro. Like, it was just nuts, man. But, hey, better luck next year. Better luck next year.
Yes, for sure. Okay. And then in your career, who have been your favorite people to work with?
Favorite people to work with? Oh, man. Amazing Nate Mattson. I worked with Ricky Morton, El Ridiculoso, who is in Florida now. I love working with him. Shogun, Joshua Franklin. Who else comes to mind? I already said Amazing Nate Mattson. Who else comes to mind? Kyle Barrett, that douchebag. let's see. I would say that's a nice handful right there. Those are my favorite guys to work with. Yeah. Oh,
and then,
I gotta say,
okay,
Sean Lawhorn too. I've always had good bouts with him. So.
And then on the other side of that, who has been some of your toughest opponents?
Some of my toughest opponents. This guy by the name of Rick Matrix. Big, insane, strong guy. Like he looks like Scott Norton, man. Like he's just big and strong and powerful. Just like rough.
All right.
That's all I got to say. Just rough.
Okay.
Rough and tough and big.
And then what are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
Make sure you have a backup plan, because everybody's journey is different here. Sometimes you may be a part of somebody else's journey, and they might make it to a level to where you want to be at. But just remember where you are at and keep working, because someday it just might pay off. Just keep working.
Okay. And then what schools would you like to suggest?
I would like to suggest the schools of the House of Truth, which is located in Centerline, Michigan. I also like to recommend the New Edge Pro Wrestling Academy, which is located in Waterford, Michigan. And those are the only two that I got.
All right. And then what about some up-and-comers people should keep their eye on?
Up-and-comers you keep your eye on? I would say Royce Carney III, James Fury. Maybe put one more in there. And this guy amassed a luchador who goes by the name of Gran Torino. Those right there are the three. Those guys are doing everything right, it seems.
Okay. Nice.
It seems to me. So.
And then what do you got coming up, brother?
Well, let me look up on my calendar right here. I got February 16th. I will be at Horror Slam in Livonia, Michigan. On March 3rd, I think it is. On March 3rd, I will be at MPWA in Ann Arbor, Michigan, And I know I have, and I know I got more dates than dates, but my phone isn't, my phone is froze. Like,
okay.
Why won't my phone work? But yeah, that stuff here. Oh snap.
All right, man. Thank you. We appreciate your time and your interview today, and I'm sure Sign Guy has a lot more for you, and I wish you all the luck in the world, brother.
Thank you very much, man. You have a beautiful day.
Thank you.
Take care.
Hey, Coach. Well, Atlas, speaking of schools, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers end up doing to some degree or another is training the new crop of wrestlers. Have you ever been part of a formal school where you train the wrestlers, or have you considered doing so?
I don't think, this might sound kind of weird, but I don't think I'm the guy who's, I don't think I'm going to be the guy who's going to train guys. I think I'm the guy who can show you a thing or two. But other than that, I'm not really looking to be a trainer or anything like that. But I'm always willing to help. I'm always, you know, I'm always willing to give a hand if you have like a question or anything, or if you want to try anything new. But I'm not really the one to coach. You know what I'm saying? I'm more of the player, if that makes any sense.
It does for sure. One of the things that historically a lot of wrestlers worked towards is making the PWI 500 list. Even though magazines aren't a big thing here in the digital age anymore, PWI is still out there, and a lot of wrestlers still look forward to the annual list to see if they made it. PWI itself, still after all these decades, the leading pro wrestling magazine on the market. Do you think that here in 2024 that people within the industry should still look at PWI as something to help market them and help build their career, or do you think that that time has passed?
I'm kind of 50-50 on that. Like, I feel like it could still work if it was on something like ESPN, Fox Sports. Just once a year, they have like a little 10-minute clip of like the top 500 guys who are wrestling on the independents, but that's wishful thinking. On the other side, it is great because it could help. It could help elevate your career because it tells you who's out there, and it gives you 500 people to choose from, guys and girls from different types of backgrounds, different types of styles, looks, sounds, all that stuff. It's good that we have that because it gives you a great index on who's out there. But as far as working today, I think it would work if it was on a big, if it was like on a big news site, you know what I'm saying? Like CBS, Fox, ESPN, like put it to where the general audience will go to, you know. I feel like that's how it would help on both sides.
One of the other big things within the wrestling industry is the Cauliflower Alley Club. It used to be closed off as a reunion just for people within the business, but in the last few years, they opened it up to anyone that wants to attend, so now lots of fans and people on the fringes of the business and people in the industry all gather to
sort of celebrate wrestling, and now there are seminars, live shows, cribbage tournaments, all involved in the reunion. Do you ever attend the CAC reunions?
I have never been in, I have never had the opportunity to go to one. I haven't had the opportunity to been invited. But I do think that is a great thing to have for as far as people who have contributed to the industry over the years. That's just something that I've never been involved to, but I would definitely love to go because, I mean, like, to me, that's like the Academy Awards. That's like, to me, that's like the real Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying?
And you've been on enough shows at this point in your career that you've witnessed a lot of legendary names, a lot of veterans that had been on television worldwide for years before returning to the independent circuit. Who are some of the more well-known legends of the business that helped you along with your career?
I would say Ricky Morton for one. And the legends that have helped me throughout my career, Ricky Morton is one. There was a time where I would talk to Sabu, and he would give me advice, which was always great to hear from, which was always great to talk to Sabu. I don't really come across that many. I don't really come across that many names like that, to be honest. But the ones that I've had, I've always kept my ears open and my mouth shut. And if I ever had a question, I always ask.
You have also been around enough to know that part of the business is the unfortunate occasional injury. Everybody gets something, whether it's something small or sometimes it's a fairly major injury, but eventually if you're in long enough, it will happen to you. What are some of the injuries that you've had to overcome so far?
Well, my last injury was I tore my freaking PCL. That is the ligament in your knee that, like, if what's it for? It's for stabilization. I was in a tag match, and I came off the top rope, and I came right down on my knee, and I feel like a sharp pain, and then like I got up. And I went right back down, and I was like, that was kind of weird. And I went to the doctor, and come to find out, I got this MRI done, and come to find out, I had a torn PCL. So I didn't – thank God I didn't have to get surgery, but I did have to do rehab for about 3.5 months. I had to get my toes strong, my ankle strong, my calf strong, my thigh strong, my hip strong. I have to get all that stuff strong again just so that it can make up for the torn PCL. That was back in August, and I started rehab in September, and I was done by November. So, but I had to go to rehab like 2 times a week and had to learn how to get my leg strong again. So, but that was the last injury that I had, was a torn PCL. And that thing sucked too, man. Like I couldn't even run or like turn quick or anything. You know what I mean? It just sucked.
Now, in the last few weeks,
the wrestling industry has been rocked by the scandals involving Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis. Not to dwell on those specifically or anything, but do you think with the scandal happening at the national level with some of the most powerful people in the industry, will that trickle down and affect business at the independent wrestling level, or do you think that independent level wrestling is going to be safe from any of the fallout from what we're seeing with the McMahon scandal?
I feel like I think that it's about time that, because I'm sure that you know, and I know that in this business, you can come across a promoter who's like shady, and there's different kinds of being and there's different kinds of being shady. You know what I mean? That what Vince McMahon did was just the ultimate shadiness of shades, man. Like, I don't know how it's going to affect the independents, but I do feel like it's about time that people who are in a position to where they hold power, it's about time that they stop taking advantage of people, because I just don't think it's the, this isn't that, I don't think, I think in this day and age now, you can't really get away with that stuff anymore. So I don't think it's going to really affect the wrestling business as a whole. I think it's going to, but if it does, it's probably going to clean up the, it's probably going to clean up the business as a whole, because even on the level where I'm at, I've came across promoters who should not be promoters. You know what I mean? And, like, it can only get worse. So, but I don't think it's going to really affect the wrestling business all that much. It's just going to be a cleanup of people who try to get into the biz, or people who try to get into the biz business, or people who are already in should get out because of their behavior behind closed doors. And it's going to be exposed that the biggest promoter of all time is not really a good person behind closed doors, which is unfortunate.
It really is, for sure. I spoke earlier on not feeling like you were the guy to coach new talent as far as running training schools, but oftentimes wrestlers at some point in time in their career will think of running their own show, whether it's just a one-off to have the experience, or if they want to see if they can promote long-term and have something to fall back on after the in-ring days are gone. Have you ever considered running your own shows?
No. But if I know somebody who I am close with, and if they ask for my help, depending on the situation, I will most definitely give a hand. But for the most part, I'm not really looking forward to running my own show or anything like that. Just, I would just let the promoters deal with that. You know what I mean? I'm not the one to, like I said, I'm the player, you know what I'm saying? You put me in the ring, I'm good to go. I don't like to set up stuff.
One of the more important parts of professional wrestling is the role of the referee, and oftentimes promoters themselves will overlook the importance and they'll just send out anybody that fits into the referee shirt to do the role, which often leads to disaster.
smart promoters will use someone that's very well trained and knows what they're doing and can help save matches when need be. Fans usually, if the referee is good enough, can't tell that the referee is actually the one in control of a match. Who are some of the better referees that you have worked with personally that might need more credit?
Russell Kimmel from Jackson, Michigan. This guy, he weighed over 300 pounds, and he lost over 100 pounds. He's looking like one of those referees that you see on TV from like the 60s now. Just, he's not too big, he's not too small, he's just the right size. And to me, he kind of looks like Jim Ross. Yes, Russell Kimmel.
Russ is a good referee for sure. No doubt about that.
Yes, he is. And I would also like to say from Pittsburgh, I always forget his last name, but George. I don't know if you guys know him. George. What the heck is his last name? I'm sorry, George. If you are hearing this, I'm sorry that I forgot your last name. But George, yeah. George is great. He's a great ref, too. He's from he's out of Pittsburgh.
I will research and find out George and look him up for sure.
Yes, I am so sorry that I did not. I always forget his last name, but there's so many folks in this thing, you know.
That is very, very true.
Yeah.
Well, we are getting down to the last several minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have enough time. So if there's anything that you would like to say in closing to the listeners, and if you want to plug and promote absolutely anything from social media to merchandise, upcoming shows, your favorite gear maker, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Well, I just want to say to everybody who is listening to this right now, thank you for tuning in and listening to myself stutter and over again and stammer my words. But thank you for giving me this platform. Thank you for the interview and everything. If you guys want to follow me, my Facebook is Atlas Hightower, A-T-L-A-S Hightower, H-Y-T-O-W-E-R. And if you want to follow me on Instagram or Twitter or X, as they call it, it is Atlas, A-T-L-A-S _ Hightower, H-Y-T-O-W-E-R. And those are my socials. Turnbuckle Turmoil, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Our pleasure. We were definitely happy to have you here, and best of luck on your career, and hopefully we'll get to do this again with you.
Yes, sir. Till next time, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
If you have not checked out Atlas Hightower, look him up on the YouTubes, or better yet, if he's at a show near you, go buy a ticket. He's a fantastic talent. You're going to be very happy you spent the money to watch him. But Coach Mike Jones, Coach with the Most, what have you got to plug here this week?
Yeah, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the Coach with the Most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And then, of course, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday noon Pacific. Next week, Sign Guy has hooked me up with the guys from Emerge. Who's going to be on next week's Sign?
I believe they have given the assignment to the commissioner of Emerge, and that happens to be Chris Lowe.
Right on. And then on the 17th, we have one of the Northwest top wrestlers currently, Lance Dean. And as Sign said before, hopefully he doesn't Lance Dean us.
We hope not. He was trying to sneak in for next Saturday, Coach.
I know. Yeah, we set him straight, though, yes. And I want to thank Sign Guy for helping me with my own show and for having me be co-host of his show, along with QT and JD for creating Turnbuckle Turmoil. And we want to thank all the fans for all their love, support,
and feedback. Thank you guys so much.
All right, and fans, you can follow me on the social medias, on the Book of Faces, the Twitter, the Gram, the YouTubes. Brand new episode of The Sign of the Times up on the YouTubes right now. You can follow Chicken Bob on all the social medias as well. Don't forget, you can find me next Saturday in Vaughan, Washington, back at Northwest Pro. And then the following week, returning to Linwood, Washington for Combat Pro Presents Theatrical Wrestling. And then on the 24th, making my return back to Ocean Shores for Rogue Wrestling Attractions. Should be a great month of sports entertainment here in the Pacific Northwest. Everybody, if you have a show near you, get out there and support that. And you can join us next week, next Friday. We have Kelly Slaughter, the daughter of Sergeant Slaughter, as we continue with Children of Sports Entertainment Month. And then 1 week from this very day, we have Adrian Whisper, professional wrestler and promoter out of the great state of Florida. So make sure you have plans to join us and stay safe out there. We will talk to you soon.
I'm here now, and I'm giving this all I got. 'Cause I'll never back down, I can never back down.